You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. We're doing a series through Proverbs. Did I tell you that? You guys remember from last week we started that, right? You can turn to chapter 1 for now. And let's begin with prayer. Great God of heaven and earth, we come again this day with thanksgiving. You have revealed not only yourself to us, but you've also revealed wisdom and knowledge to us. You have given us this book of Proverbs to grow in wisdom, and we do pray that we would be growing in, as such, to be wise and not foolish, to embrace wisdom over folly. So bless our reflection on this topic today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as a reminder and as a segue into today, someone read for me Proverbs 1:7. Who's going to do that for me? John looked at me first here. Okay, good. So that was what we talked about last time, right? The fear of the Lord. I think an important starting point for this topical survey of Proverbs. We approach having the fear of the Lord as a starting place for growing in wisdom. Now, I began to introduce it last time, but you notice that the back half of that verse has the word fool, right? Our topic for today is going to be to think about wisdom versus folly. Wisdom versus folly. The wise versus the fool. The wise versus the fool. This is a big topic in this book. It's terms that get used repeatedly, and so on, and it's been a little bit of time comparing and contrasting wisdom and folly. Now how do you define wisdom? How would one define wisdom?
High IQ,
okay. Renee?
Applying knowledge that you gain for the betterment of self and others.
Good. Applying knowledge for the betterment of self and others. And that's something I want you to think about as we go into this here. So how would you define a fool? Lacking thereof. Okay, good. So to think of the contrast. So the definition there, very common way to sort of define wisdom, and lack thereof is for the folly, for the opposite. What I want us to begin to get our heads around today is that the book of Proverbs defines wisdom more deeply than that. What Renee just described, very textbook definition of the word wisdom, and you might say that's the mental part of it, right? The mental, you have knowledge that goes in your mind, and then you have to, like, I'm going to use the IQ language, right? Have that IQ that then makes use of that in a smart way, right? And when you look at Proverbs, it has that. But it brings in other categories. It brings in religious categories. It brings in moral categories. It brings in covenantal categories. It brings in social and spiritual aspects. So wisdom, and then in contrast, folly in the book of Proverbs is something actually far more richer and deeper than we get in our English definition of knowledge. And that's why I wanted to have us have a chance to think about that, because that'll make sense more than as we work our way through the book, when we realize that the book of Proverbs has a much more elaborate understanding of these two terms than we typically use in our English language of thinking. And so maybe another way of saying it, often I think we think of wisdom versus folly as a matter of the mind, but I think Proverbs tells us it's a matter of the heart. A matter of the heart even more than a matter of the mind. And so these terms can be life-defining. Proverbs uses it that way. Are you one who is wise, or are you one who is a fool? Right? You know which one you want to be. So that's what we're going to be thinking a little bit about today. Wisdom versus folly, wise or fool. Now I just introduced you to those two terms, but I want to introduce you to two more terms that will help us think about this. Look at verse 4. Henry, would you read verse 4 for us? I don't see either wise or fool in there, but what labels of people are in that verse? Simple. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. What's the other label? You. So these terms also appear to a degree in the book of Proverbs. And they can have a little bit more of a neutral sense to them. Now, as they can, simple particularly has a neutral but more of a negative slant, but not as negative as fool. Okay. Simple can have negative connotations such as like naive and gullible. So it's not ultimately a neutral term. But I want you to get your head around this. You're not born wise. You understand the point? You're not born wise. It's something you learn. It's something you grow in, right? And hopefully you become wiser and wiser. And so, to be oversimplifying for a moment, you can think of the term simple almost as someone who's like, this is why it pairs with youth at times, almost as someone who's sort of getting started in life. And not to say that they're really a blank slate, but there's a sense of a blank slate of, will they grow in wisdom or will they grow in folly? I say somewhat of a blank slate because Proverbs 22:15 says this, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So we're not born in a state of wisdom, but that proverb would suggest we're at least born in some degree of folly. And, of course, that fits with our idea of total depravity, right? We're born in sin. And so not only are we born in sin, guilty from birth, and have corrupted natures, there's folly from our birth that, while on the one hand you could think of us being born as a more simple or youth, young state, but even in the youth, even in our childhood, there's a folly there that it suggests proverbially can be something parents hope drive out of their children through parental parenting, through parenting, put that right. People follow them so far here. And then we're in chapter 1 here, so look down at verse 22. So I want to read verse 22.
How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will stop this delight in this doctrine to feel
so far? So what we see in Proverbs, again, using this idea of simple, even though simple is not just simply a neutral term, there is the hope presented for the simple to grow out of simpleness into actual wisdom. And so here's this call right there. Do you want to stay simple? Don't stay a fool, right? Grow into wisdom. And so there is hope presented here in terms of growing from simple into wise. Proverbs 21:11 says, when a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. And so one of the things we'll particularly see over time is a wise person is teachable. And one who's in that more simple state, will you be teachable? Will you be teachable and grow in wisdom, or will you be foolish and ignore it all and scoff at it? I think that's the idea of scoffing a lot of times. And there's, you're given good advice, you're given good wisdom, and instead of saying, thank you, I'm going to try to implement that. I don't need to hear you.
There's a difference between the simple and the foolish.
That's what I'm saying. I think I think that's a good one example of how Proverbs will fool is the sort of, if you become simple and don't pursue wisdom, you over time just become very much known as a fool, and you become confirmed and hardened as a fool. Whereas there's at least hope that a simple will grow in wisdom, right? And show themselves to be wise instead of showing themselves to be a fool. So,
one of the mistakes I find myself tending towards is conflating intelligence with wisdom. I've known a lot of super intelligent people who are to this day qualified, labeled simple, because they are singularly dimensional, without any depth, and somehow I refuse.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, like your example of IQ, we could think of some guys who have some really great IQ, but would definitely not match the Proverbs definition of wisdom. And particularly when we see, as we'll keep seeing as we work through this book, the religious and the moral character as presented here of wisdom, that pushes our traditional understanding of that term. And only God's people can truly begin to have this sort of wisdom in this life. So very important to keep pushing us on that. So I mentioned simple, but I also mentioned youth. This is another proverb we've all heard many times, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, again, kind of like the term simple versus youth, right? Youth is something, they're getting started out, and you want to parent them toward wisdom. And so as this train up a child, I think we should especially think that sort of holistically in light of the book of Proverbs, you're training them in this wisdom, and wisdom in the holistic sense, which includes training them in the knowledge of the Lord and the faith, across the board. And again, I would point out that's a proverb. Proverbs are proverbially true, meaning you might do your best to train up that child and give them every great foundation, and they may depart when they're old, but proverbially, this is setting them up for a much better place for success if you diligently train them and parent them in these things growing up. So, so that's my high level. I'm going to start to give a few verses and have us look at a few verses to sort of paint the difference between wisdom and folly. But any questions high level before we dig in? Okay. So wisdom versus folly. Let's look at a few proverbs to think about wisdom versus folly. So foundationally, we looked at this last week at verse 7 again. The last part, what do we learn about fools there? They despise the wisdom, right? They don't want the wisdom. They don't want instruction. Remember we said instruction includes a sort of a discipline idea. They reject it. And here's another one that confirms this idea, except it's not in Proverbs. I'm going to give it to you. Psalm 14.1. Go ahead and turn to Psalm. We're going to do some turning now. Psalm 14.1. Remember, I mentioned some psalms are really wisdom literature, and so they can complement our study. Psalm 14, verse 1. Sarah Miller, why don't you read that for us?
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
Good. So this is really foundational here. The fool says in his mind, says in his heart, there is no God, right? And so, again, we're thinking like comparing and contrasting. Last week, The fear of the Lord is the starting point for one to become wise. The starting point for one to be a fool is to say there is no God, and I'm not going to heed any instruction, not from God or not even from any other people in this life. Now flip back to Proverbs 3:5. Renee, why don't you read Proverbs 3:5?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
So again, kind of foundational. This is the description of a wise person, right? The wise person not only has fear of the Lord, he's then trusting in the Lord, again, with all his heart, not leaning on his own understanding, which does bring into the mind category as well there. And so, foundational, wise versus fool, right? Wisdom, wise says, there is God, I fear and revere God, I'm going to listen to him, his way is best. The fool says, there is no God, I'm going to scoff at anyone who tries to tell me how to live my life, I know what's best for me, and I'm going to do what I think. And so, starting point, this is wisdom and folly, right? Like, right away, it's presented as something more than just an intellectual knowledge thing. Right away, it's religious. The kind of Proverbs wisdom that we're talking about. Starting point is your relationship with the Lord. All right, let's look at another set of contrasts here. So turn to chapter 17. 17, verse 10. Diego, do you have chapter 17, verse 10?
Yes, sir. If you could go deeper into a man of understanding, that's the part that goes in the book.
All right. Wisdom and folly is compared there. The man of understanding, of course, is the wise person there. What's the point there?
Only the wise will accept the rebuke.
That's right. This gets into correctable or teachable. A wise person is teachable and correctable. And you got a lot of contrast here, right? Like one rebuke cuts into their heart and they go home and think about it and look a little different. The contrast is a fool surely has already ignored all those rebukes, and now finds himself getting literally punished through a beating, right? And of course, there's hyperbole here because 100 blows is more than they would have even done. But the whole point is, even 100 blows, the fool still won't listen. Contrast. Go back to Proverbs 9:9. Charlie, you got 9:9 for me?
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wise. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning.
It's not my notes, but I'm thinking of Jesus makes that statement, he who has more will be given to him, what he doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Thinking categories of wisdom and folly, right? I mean, a wise man gets more wisdom, right? If you teach him, he'll just become even wiser. And obviously, we just saw the opposite with folly. Proverbs 12:1, just to read it here. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Do you want to be stupid? Do you want to be foolish? Then ignore instruction, ignore wisdom, ignore teaching, ignore the Lord. If you want to be wiser, keep thinking you could grow, right? Folly says, I already know. Wisdom says, I've got more to learn. Of course, we can think stereotypical, right? When kids are really young, they tend to be sponges, and they sort of, they know that they don't know, right? And then you get into that warning high schooler ages, you know, high school tends to, at the crown of our elementary ages, we tend to think we know everything at that point. And then I think as you get out of that, you go through a long period of time where you realize how little you actually know. And you are hopefully growing and learning more and more. Hope that makes sense. Here's what I've brought to you so far. Wisdom versus folly, starting point, their relationship with the Lord, right? So then another point I brought you now, wisdom and folly. Wisdom is teachable, correctable. Folly is not. So the third thing I want us to look at is Proverbs 29:11. Mary, do you have that? Okay, good. Now, this could be misunderstood. It's not saying be a Vulcan, if you know any Star Trek. Vulcan, Spock, right? He was emotionless. Vulcans, they don't have any emotion. That's not what this is saying. Gives full vent to his emotion or his spirit, right? So the idea, like, you get angry and you let it out full vent. But a wise man quietly holds it back. Again, we don't want to misunderstand and think that you should never deal with your emotions. Because Proverbs, after term of Proverbs, and there's a bunch of Proverbs on this topic, we'll get into it later in a future time, we'll focus on aspects of this more deeply, but there obviously is a time where you need to deal with that anger. But from a high-level wisdom versus folly, a wise person has self-control over his emotions and reigns over them. A fool, his emotions reign over him. Similar, look at 17:27, Proverbs. Yes.
Connect that. Please. Like it says, there is right. So thing is righteous anger. But in your anger, the Lord says, do not sin.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get to delve into this in a couple of ways coming up. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll get into that and specifically make that quote, be angry but do not sin. We'll have a good chunk of Ephesians deals with anger and how to righteously do it, use it. And then, but I think in Proverbs, this is a big topic. And so at least one of our lessons will be dealing in depth with the whole anger addressing of it. There is a theoretical righteous anger. And I say theoretical because Scripture speaks very highly of God being righteous and angry, and Jesus being righteous and angry, and arguably on a few other occasions humans, but humans also really struggle with their righteous anger, because even when it's righteous, they sometimes express it in unrighteous ways. So that's what things we'll talk about more, so that we can see anger as this wonderful, powerful thing to be used in a good way, which is very much the point I'm making here. A wise person will be able to channel that anger into something productive, right? Just going in bombing the abortion clinic because you're so righteously angry of all the lives that are being taken is, I would argue, foolish, right? As well as immoral. Being able to channel that anger, righteous anger, now how can I go and try to stop this from happening in lawful, wise ways? That's wisdom versus folly. So Proverbs 17:27 gives us another way of thinking about this. 17:27 and 28. Who's got that for me?
Proverbs restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent.
So, I'm putting this still into the category of self-control and restraint. So, self-control can be in terms of your emotions. It can also be in terms of the words that you use, right? In Presbytery meetings, we've often had to encourage folks. Oftentimes, the same arguments get repeated over and over. Just because you haven't been the one to say it yet doesn't mean it needs to be said again if it's already been said three times. There's a time to speak and a time not to speak. And even a fool looks wise when he keeps his mouth shut. There's something funny about that, I think, but it's funny because it's also true, right? But you notice it brings out the cool spirit idea in verse 27. So I think this is still very much related. Oftentimes our emotions are not restrained and governed, and it comes out of what we say. And so we're pursuing wisdom in that. One more on this topic of self-control, Proverbs 14, 16. Proverbs 14, 16. Kim, why don't you read that for us?
One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless.
I think this is similar idea of self-control, but now in moral categories. A fool is reckless and careless, and therefore does evil. Right? One who's wise, they're cautious. Right? Cautious. You think before you act, and therefore you choose right over wrong. So these are examples, these problems we just looked at, are examples of self-control. So I mentioned wise versus fool is someone who has a starting point, their relationship with the Lord. Second, we talked about the wise versus fool, someone who's teachable or not. And this third section really is about self-control. Do you have self-control in the various areas of your life? Wise versus fool. Turn over now. A fourth thing to think about under wise versus fool is Proverbs 8, 33 through 36. Sarah Miss.
33
through 36.
And be wise and do not neglect. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my days, waiting to step into doors. Whoever finds me finds life, his favor, and the Lord. But he who fails to find me finishes himself. All who hate me love them.
So this speaks of it in terms of outcomes. The wise versus the fool. What is the outcome of the wise versus the fool? At least on those verses, what's some of the outcome described there?
You mean like 35, finding life?
There you go. Right? To find wisdom is to find life. And what's it say the opposite in verse 36? Yeah, you actually injure yourself, and you find that you actually must love death. Now, these are high-level ideas, life versus death. And when we look, as we keep working through Proverbs, we'll see that sometimes it has in mind actual physical life or death in this world, right? But sometimes it's looking beyond, and obviously we ought to think of both. Right, life in this life and the life beyond. What will our life beyond this life be? As one who is in Christ, we look not only to what's in store for this life, but beyond. And if you don't have Christ, then your death in this life is only the beginning of an eternal damnation. Right? And so again, we often think of the gospel and these categories in terms of law and grace and mercy with regard to our sin being pardoned and whatnot. This puts it in categories of wisdom and folly in a complementary way. And so again, I said this last week. The law says, do this and be declared righteous, and if you don't, you're a guilty sinner. Right? That's how the law puts it, right? The law says, do this and be declared righteous. Don't do this, be declared guilty, a guilty sinner. But Proverbs says, do this, even what the law requires, do this and be wise. Don't do this and be a fool. It's almost two different ways to approach the same overarching ideas. You can strive to do the good thing, the right thing, because it's what the law says. You can also strive to do that because it's what's wise. Maybe another way of thinking about it is if you struggle to obey the law because it's the right thing to do, at least obey it because it's the wise thing to do, because it's actually good for you. I think this is something we see in Proverbs. It's good for you to do the wise. It's to your advantage. What did we just read in Proverbs 8? You injure yourself in folly. Folly is self-destructive. Folly is bad for you in many different ways. Questions?
The gospel is sort of hidden in that last verse.
Yeah.
I see it because this thing called wisdom or instruction becomes personalized. Finding me.
I do. That'll be our last point for today. Let's turn to Proverbs 9. You are right that as gospel goes, Proverbs does not have as much explicit gospel statements in there, but like every book of the Bible, we can get to the gospel in Proverbs. I want us to start with Proverbs 9 here to see that it has a call of personifying wisdom versus personifying folly. Okay, and I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to just understand, to personify wisdom, to personify folly means to make wisdom into a person or folly into a person. And I want you to think this is especially initially directed to young men. So I want you to visualize, in a sense, two beautiful-looking women up here. Which one attracts you? Which one attracts you, okay? This Proverbs 9 is sort of this call. So Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. And then the transition here. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead, but he does not know the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So here you have this call for wisdom or folly. Wisdom and folly are personified. And again, I mentioned, imagine two attractive women presented is sort of the way it's presented here. But they may not be attractive in the same way, right? You can imagine concepts of inner beauty versus outer beauty, right? You can imagine a presentation of one versus the other and why someone might be tempted to go the one or the other. But Proverbs here, basically, chapters 1 through 9 are all introductory. Why you need wisdom. You get to chapter 10 is when the actual Proverbs, line-by-line Proverbs, really start. So this is the way the introduction finishes. Who's going to attract you? Are you going to be attracted to Lady Wisdom? Or are you going to be attracted to Lady Folly, who, guess what, is not much of a lady? Okay, so this is what you're trying to see here painted. So look just, you know, a little bit of time left here for Sunday school. Look at the first couple verses there of 9 verse 1. What's being painted here? Wisdom's built a house. She slaughtered her beasts. This is like she's preparing a big feast. Okay, she set her table, got a big feast. So then 3, 4, 5, and 6, this is the call. She's inviting. She's inviting through her agents. Notice she sends out her young women to call from the highest places. Thought and thought of, this is how wisdom is brought out through the sages, through those who would teach wisdom. And will you come in? And the banquet obviously is metaphorical here. Will you enjoy the fruit, the bounty of wisdom? Wisdom has this beautiful bounty. Will you embrace it? And the real benefit held out here, look at verse 6. Leave your simple ways and live. And walk in the way of insight. A lot of this is now reinforcing what we've studied already today. When you look down like 7, 8, and 9, a scoffer doesn't want to listen, but someone who will grow in wisdom is someone who's going to be reproved and learn from it. And so we see that same idea of teachable that we've been talking about today. And then it ends in the point we've been making, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So this is really, this whole section is reemphasizing everything we've been talking about this week and last week in terms of starting point for wisdom and why we want to be wise. But then the shorter section here, look at the call of Lady Folly, 11 and 12. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. I missed 11 and 12, still Lady Wisdom. Your days will be multiplied. And if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. What do you think it means if you're wise, you're wise for yourself? Yeah, I think it's like, this is like suggesting, this is a very practical thing, right? You know, we often think of, maybe in less pious ways, how can I help myself? And this is telling you, this will be good for you. If you're wise, it will be to your own benefit. So there's a very practical argument here in the midst of the other benefits held out of life, and ultimately, as we'll see as we keep working through problems, eternal life. So then, down at, starting at verse 13, wisdom folly is loud. So this is now, she's making her invitation. And how is her invitation? She's loud. It's hard to miss this seductress folly. She's loud. She sits on the highest place of town, right by the door of her house. She's calling you, come on in. Come on in and taste my fruits. And so she's loud and she's seductive. She calls to people who otherwise are going straight, and she calls to them. And notice it says she knows nothing. She claims all these things, but really, folly is ignorant. Folly doesn't even realize. And even that's the person who listens to her, look at verse 18, he does not know that the dead are there inside with folly. Her way is the way to Sheol, to death, to damnation. And so this is a shorter but sobering description here of the outcome of thought. We're running out of time, so I had to take us through that quickly, but this goes into your question, Charles, a moment ago. How does this point us to the gospel? Well, here we have at the end of the introductory section of Proverbs a personification of wisdom and folly. And we won't have time to go through it today, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1 opens up talking about God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. And it talks about it in terms of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it says the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to the world, but God found it wise to make foolish the wisdom of the world and instead to present his wisdom. And it actually then personifies Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, again, I'm sort of running out of time here, but the idea is to bring us to Christ in all of this, is to see if we personify wisdom versus folly. Ultimately, the scriptures reveal that Jesus himself is wisdom personified to us, the very wisdom of God unto us. He reveals God. He reveals God's law. But he also reveals God's wisdom to us, even to the point of the gospel. Right? Salvation by the death of the Son of God in our place. The world hears us tell the gospel that our sins were paid for by Jesus' offering of himself, that atoning sacrifice. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The world hears that and think that's foolish. But for those whom God has given eyes to see and ears to hear, we recognize it for what it really is. The wisdom of God personified. So, Charles, that's where I was going anyways, but your question was perfect, so I'll give you a chance to follow up. That's what I would, you know, for today, point us to see Christ as the wisdom of God as a way to point our lesson ultimately in the gospel today.
You answered it.
Praise the Lord. Other questions from our wisdom versus folly topic today?
Just the connection there, just the gates, they get my gates, they get my doors, and the foolish never really open the doors.
So we are going to where we're at. Last week we started our new topical series through Proverbs. We talked as a starting point the fear of the Lord. Today was sort of an introduction round two, where we said Proverbs has these two big categories: wisdom and folly. Will you be wise or will you be a fool? Next week we're going to delve into, in some sense still introductory, but in some sense starting to delve into the details by looking at the wisdom of righteousness and the folly of wickedness. And so then we'll, that'll really delve us into the details, and we'll go from there working through various topics of Proverbs. So let me close with some prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to pursue wisdom in our Sunday school, even through the book of Proverbs. We thank you for wanting us to have this wisdom. And we do pray, Lord, this would not be something we pursue just on Sunday mornings for Sunday school. Lord, may we as Christians pursue wisdom in all areas of our life, beginning with that fear of the Lord. And really beginning then, Lord, with that way in which we've come to know true wisdom in Christ. Lord, if it was up to us, we would just be a fool. We'd be bound up in that folly of the heart that we read about today. But your Holy Spirit has given us a new birth to embrace Christ, not only as our Savior, but even as our wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray that we think of ways in which this complements what we tend to especially focus so much on in our gospel presentation, to think of not only our sins forgiven, but that you're growing us, even in our sanctification, even in wisdom. And so, Lord, let us continue to pursue that, walking in step with the Spirit. Lord, bless us as we take a break and prepare for worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.